This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Hey! Did you miss us? We know you missed us. Two nights without Steve or Kyle. What in the world did you people do? What do you think they did, Steve?
I have no idea, and I don't want to know what half of them do.
That's a good point. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's good to be back. We certainly missed you guys, but it was nice to have a couple of days to rest and not worry about the crazy. And joining us back again, definitely one of our favorite people to have on here. We're going to see him tonight in probably, I know a lot of you would probably say that the debates are when he's at his best, but actually when he's talking about the subject that we're talking about tonight is when he's really at his best. So if you want to know how the man that buries creation science does it, he literally wrote a book on it. We're going to find out a little bit more about that. So welcome back, Aaron. It's good to have you back here.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to briefly go through what we have coming up, and then there's a situation that I want to discuss with you guys, and then we'll jump straight in. Tomorrow, we have What the If with the guys from the What the If Science podcast. They're going to be with us tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. Okay, cool. Wednesday, this is a change from Friday, actually. Originally, this show here, the Glowbird versus the Plane model between Red's Rhetoric and Godless Engineer, and the Limitless Channel and Awake Souls, that was going to be on Friday. That has now been moved up to Wednesday because of some scheduling conflicts that we had to work through. That's at 9 o'clock, not 8 o'clock, our usual time. So that is now Wednesday, not Friday. So Wednesday's show is going to go to Friday, and then Friday's coming up to Wednesday. Thursday at 2 p.m., we have Cosmic Skeptic and Dr. Alex Malpass. They're going to be discussing Cosmic Skeptic's recent videos on objective morality, and that's going to be at 2 p.m. because they're across the pond, so we don't want them up at 3 a.m. talking about objective morality. That wouldn't end well for anybody, especially Steve, because Steve would get triggered.
It's never a good thing when we talk about objective morality.
Yeah. And then the last two things, next Wednesday, Vadim Newquist and Bunty King will be coming on to talk about freedom of speech. And then next Friday, we finally got this one settled. Adam Kokesh, who is running for the Libertarian candidate for president in 2020. He's also got a lot of notoriety from some protests that he did over the past couple of years. He's an Iraq war veteran. He will be coming on to talk about his campaign and why it's important to stick by your rights. So that's going to be next Friday at 8 p.m. Okay. So, I'm concerned about the state that we're in as a human race at times. I thought, erroneously so, that believing that the earth is flat still at this time was probably as bad as it gets. I was wrong. I was very wrong. And I'd like to take you guys through a conversation that I had with a gentleman last night, a very nice gentleman. Not confrontational at all. We had a pleasant conversation, but I was in awe at what we were discussing, because there are certain things that you would never think you would ever have to say. Like, the words would never come out of your mouth ever. And I was saying things last night and having a conversation about an issue that you couldn't convince me 6 months ago I would be having. So let's begin with his first message. This was in reference to this guy coming on, and we're just going to briefly cover the big screen here so that you guys can see what we're going through. Now, the way that he introduced himself to me was, my opponent, he is an evolutionist. So I'm assuming he's talking about the badly drawn Snoopy. He is going to debate this guy, or he wanted to debate this guy originally. So I said in return, we'll go to the next piece. And what are you? And Dave?
Atheist against evolution pseudoscience.
Dave, are you going to read his poster? Do you want me to?
Atheist against evolution pseudoscience.
I did read it. You couldn't hear me, though.
Oh, okay. All right. So he is also an atheist, but he's against evolution and pseudoscience, okay? So this tells me a little bit about what I'm dealing with, but still I'm not concerned at this point. We carry on.
I don't believe... Oh, wait, you want to do it? You got Dave? Go ahead.
I don't believe in viruses either.
We practice this for days.
Now, I was in a state when I read this where at first you read it and it doesn't register. But then that sinking feeling kicked in. And I was like, I didn't read that correctly. I know I didn't. Or his autocorrect is covering a word that he meant to say something else. I know that I didn't read it. It said, I don't believe in viruses either. So I had to clarify. You don't believe in viruses?
I debunked them. ERVs as evidence for evolution.
Oh, wow. I'm not sure I know what to say to that right now. Because that literally, guys... That blue bubble that you see was literally the realest I have ever felt in text form, because I did not know what one was to say to another person when somebody looks at you and says, I don't believe in viruses either. It's not a situation that your brain is prepared to handle. Nonetheless, I carried on. Can you send me your sources for viruses being a hoax? I'd like to look into this. So he sends me. Oh,
it went. It went a little bit wonky there. Sorry.
That's okay. A link to a YouTube video, a video that he made himself. So the source that I got when asking for the source that convinced him that viruses weren't real was his own video. At this point, I am confused. I am lost. So, I have to clarify.
There is no peer-reviewed paper. No sources. Just a hoax industry. I made a video on it.
But how do you arrive at that conclusion? Now, here's where we're going to get into a weird thing.
But foot Dave? Fungus made my wart go away.
Okay. I'm crying literally at this point. His next piece of evidence.
When I saw no one know how a cell can make more viruses.
Unfortunately, there was another one.
When I saw CGI viruses.
Now, here we arrive at an interesting point in this conversation. It seems to me that those who hold a belief that is way against what we know to be true, there's a link between their beliefs and the letters C, G, and I. If it's flat Earth, NASA is always, always, always making CGI images. Always. That's one of their cornerstones. And now we see that that is infecting viruses. That's irony for you right there. But CGI viruses. Okay. There's more. I'm sorry. You're going to have to slow down. My brain is doing everything it can to convince me that this shit isn't really happening.
When viral warfare
and this was his closer, guys.
When viral warfare scared people, viral psyop, it's all about money. I made a video on it, investigate my channel, and get to know me.
Cancer is a hoax, too.
Yeah, lots of hoaxes. I'm having a hard time. Lots of hoaxes, but I only cover a select few.
And that's where we ended that conversation. I am horrified, but I cannot in good conscience pass this opportunity up to dig more. So he will be with us August the 9th on Thursday to try to get to the bottom of where this stems from. But I'm interested, Aaron, in your initial summary of what you just saw there.
I have learned a couple of important lessons. One is, first, never assume that somebody I'm talking to isn't as smart as I am, because maybe, or that I know something that they don't, because everybody knows something that I don't. And so if it turns out that if I assume that that person isn't as knowledgeable as I am, and I'm not going back to when I was a little kid now, this is something I figured out when I was like 8, right? When I'm talking to somebody else and it turns out that they know something that I assumed that they didn't, well, I end up looking stupid. And I figured out at 8 years old. But if I'm talking to somebody and I assume they know what they're on the same level, or at least they have at least as much understanding of it as I do, then chances are that's actually going to be correct. And if it turns out that they know more, well, then I'm still in good standing. And if it turns out that they know less, I don't come out looking like a jerk. Maybe they do, but not necessarily. So this is the best stance. I lived off of that for a very long time until it set in me that everybody had about the same level of intelligence that I did, or at least let's say knowledge that I did. And I never considered myself a very intelligent person because I did a lot of stupid stuff when I was a kid. But then somebody pointed out to me that I was giving other people too much credit, and said, what would you take as a point of common knowledge that you think everybody should know? And we can poll the people in the office that we work at. It was 200 people in that office. And so I said, well, the speed of light is a common knowledge thing. I mean, that's, they teach that first year college chemistry. You have to know the speed of light for all these applications. The first week, you have to know the speed of light because it translates into everything that you do. Okay, so everybody should know the speed of light. And we polled the 200 people in the office, and there was only one person in the office who knew the speed of light other than my friend and myself. And that was the admin who ran everything. And I've since then been, this was before I became an activist, this is before I really understood anything about creation. This is before I ever heard of Ron Wyatt just, you know, pretending to have discovered the Ark and all that. So I spent the next few years on this learning curve that people can be really impressively stupid, because I've heard mind-boggling things. I mean, I asked this one person to explain what they think evolution is, for example, and the answer that I got was that evolution was where one bunch of molecules gathers together to make a man and another bunch of molecules gathers together to make a fish.
That's legit. Yes,
what's wrong with that?
Yeah. <poof. laughs>
No, I used to get accused of that all the time. People would always tell me, Steve, you know, you kind of know a few things that the average person doesn't even bother with. And I thought, like you, I'm like, well, wait a minute, is it stuff like this basic? I thought everybody knew at least pi to like at least maybe 5 decimal places. I thought that was kind of common. Found I was wrong on that. So yeah, I totally get what you're coming from, because I've had.
I would have thought that everybody knew pi to 3, because
I'd take 3. I would be happy with 3.
Yeah, I'm surprised how many people don't know pi.
Yeah. Go find a flat earther that does. I'd be impressed.
Oh, we know a very prominent person here on YouTube that should probably know that with what they're arguing, but couldn't tell.
Yeah, I have met people who believe that the Earth is the biggest thing in the universe, and that it is the center of the solar system, that all the planets are about the same, all the planets and the sun are about the same size as each other, and that the stars are smaller than the planets. We're talking about people that I knew when I was young, before I ever got involved in it, but before there was an internet, I knew people who believed this kind of stuff.
Now that's interesting. I'd like to talk with you a little bit more in detail about that, because I would like to know why you think that the numbers all indicate that people who believe that either the geocentric model or the flat Earth model are steadily on the rise. And I would think that it would be because of the internet and being able to, you know, click up with something that's edgy and, you know, outside the mainstream. But if there were people who were buying into this, you know, before that ever was an issue, why is it something that just will not go away? Like, despite all of the evidence and proof that continuously comes out and where they're shown to be continuously wrong all the time.
What it used to be when I was a little kid was that you didn't have a way of verifying this. So you would hear stories all the time about what they discovered, right? You'd have all these strange stories and urban legends and so forth, and nobody has a way to look into anything. And so every opinion is equal, no matter, you know, so what do they know? You know, they just got a bunch of PhDs. That'll mean, you know, piled higher and deeper. That's all that means. Right. So that's how they dismiss academics. Right. So they can just make up whatever they want. Now, when you get into the internet age, now we got something else happening, something very different. Here we have where we know that religion is in a general state of decline. And I may have mentioned this on this show before, but religion is in a general state of decline, not just nationwide, not just in every state. It is in every state, but it's not just there. It's also around the world. Religion is in a steady state of decline around the world, or I should say a general state of decline. They say that Islam is the fastest growing religion, but even in Islam, we have a rise of atheism. So atheism is on the rise, even despite the fact that, you know, you have Sharia law imposing a death penalty, that the Saudis are complaining and Iranians are complaining about the number of atheists rising in their ranks anyway, even facing a death sentence. You know, so tell that to the Christians who say, why would you die for what you don't believe in? Well, why don't you go ask these people who are literally dying for what they don't believe in, for example. But so you have religion on decline, atheism on the rise, but at the same time, you have the rise of young earth creationism, and you have the rise of flat earthism and geocentrism, and all of the pseudoscience woo that comes attached to that. So what's happening is, and this is right down the middle of the population, there's a polarization going on. The only way that all these statistics can be the same can be correct at the same time, where the religion is on decline, but religious extremism is on the rise, is that they are polarizing. So you have people that are walking away from mysticism altogether, which is fine. That's where we should be. But then you also have a significant population who are walking away from science altogether, and it is deliberate. You know from previous conversations with flat earthers that some of them are insane. Some of them, as you've probably seen with my previous interviews, are just fantastically stupid people. I mean, just bewilderingly, virtually brain dead morons. But then you also have the deliberate liars. And so there's this small group of liars who are just in it for the game. And maybe they want to lie to themselves, because there are some of those too. I've even seen pastors admit that they know that what they believe isn't true, but they're going to believe it anyway. And they're going to teach people these things as truth, even though they know it's false. So they come out and admit all of that. You've got going on. You've got people that are walking away from rationality. It's the irrational versus the rational. That's where we are.
I mean, it's one thing to hold.
Why, though?
I mean, if you hold a belief that you know something is not true, you're out there and you're preaching something that you're literally at that point disseminating willfully false information. I've never understood that. Okay, seen people do that. I've seen people that have, and later on they've changed and said, you know what, I no longer could have done it anymore. So you think that's a coming out phase of some sort? Or,
well, Kyle just asked, you know, why do they do this? And in a previous show, on this show, Jaronism explained why they do this. You know, he started the show talking about how he was not a Christian, right? He's denigrating Christians and all this. But then later in the same interview, he admits that he believes in a flat earth. He makes believe in a flat earth because science can't explain that. So he's going to rely on the God of the gaps fallacy, where if you have something science can't explain, then he thinks God is the explanation. There's a whole bucket of fallacies that play into that, which is why I wish that they would teach philosophy in high school. Can we just cover logical fallacies, please? We would shut religion out of business in 4 years.
I would even say earlier than that. I would be okay with that.
Steve would have him practicing philosophy in pre-K.
No, it doesn't
pre-K.
Have any philosophy. Just critical. I took critical thinking in college. It was contemporary rhetoric. And that course, I don't think you have to take it in college. You could take it much earlier. It's not that hard of a course.
Yeah, I wish I had taken it too, because I'm listening to somebody taking, I don't remember if it was critical thinking or if it was just straight up logic. But I was in a tutorial lab. I'm there for math, so I'm just going to sit there and be quiet, you know, and do my work. And I listened to this girl who's asking the tutor to explain all these concepts. These are concepts that are completely beyond her. And I wish I could remember the specific examples, but every one of them that she mentioned were things that, how could anybody have a problem with this? It's like the very concept that if a mallard is a duck, is a bird, then all birds are mallards, or all mallards are ducks, or all ducks are birds. Which of these statements, select the ones that are true, right? How do you have a problem with this?
Because of kinds, Arne, what kind are they is the most important question.
That's just like the
question.
Closest example I could remember to what they were. But it was every one of these questions is just as stupid. Now, if you took critical thinking, you're probably aware of a handful of questions just like what I just mentioned.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's just, not just understanding hierarchies, nested hierarchies, understanding classifications, understanding. I don't think people need to get like to the things like, oh, okay, Fermi the consequent kind of crap. But I agree with you. Just simple, you know, basic logic. I don't think anybody would have a problem with teaching at a very early age. Kids can understand. That's pretty easy.
Do you think that would do anything, though? I mean, would that be enough to take away some of the willful ignorance to what the truth is? I still think you would have those who are just like, this is exactly what the Bible foretold. It's it's the man's way of trying to deceive you.
For example, as you guys know, this weekend I spent time with my daughter. So this was a wonderful weekend, and we missed you guys, but we enjoyed our time away. And my daughter happened to be talking about flat earthers because there are some in her school. And I found out she actually had a fourth grade teacher that let it slip that she believed the earth was flat. My daughter's now going into eighth, so there's nothing I can do about it now. But had I known at the time, I probably would have lost my crap. But, okay, so anyways.
No.
She does, right? And she goes, well, you know, I know the earth is a flat, Daddy. Those guys are idiots. But you know what? I watch some videos, and they do have some interesting questions. And I'm like, no, they don't, honey. And I said, take your best shot. And she asked me about compositing of shots of the planet. And she said, well, you know, is there really no actual shot of the earth? And I'm like, well, there actually are true shots of the earth. But I explained to her a composite interesting work. And she said, you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
Oh, no.
Flat earthers are.
Oh, no. Steve Gray's daughter is going to be a flat earther. What a twist
story. No, she listens and she goes, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, they're idiots.
Okay. But and that's a good point, because Arne actually has gone. There are several videos on his channel. If you haven't seen him, you need to go check him out, of him actually going to the state legislator and fighting against exactly what Steve just brought up. And I think that is probably one of the saddest and the most frightening aspects of what can happen. You said it's a fourth grade teacher, Steve?
It was a fourth grade teacher. And by the way, Arne, on those things that you go to, do you ever just want to just go up to any of those people and smack the hell out of them? I've listened to them that get up there and talk, and I'm like, how are you in the educational positions? How? Because they really all need to shut up and just let you talk and you do the whole thing, because half of them didn't have a freaking clue what they were talking about.
I'm very disappointed that I'm supposed to be in a couple weeks. I'm supposed to be in Phoenix, where for the Europeans listening, that's going to be 50 degrees Celsius.
That's 122 degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot.
Yeah. So I was very disappointed that I was invited to do a quasi debate, sort of like the, not an actual debate, but something roughly similar to that. And they threw out a subsequent offer, and I said, okay, well, I'll do that. But then they said, would you also do a 1 hour lesson on the basics of evolution and the facts to prove the theory? And I just lit up at that, because they're going to give me an hour to do a full-on PowerPoint presentation to address. I will give you the very best evolutionary perimeter that has ever been recorded. I'm so all about that. I wrote back immediately saying, how big is the audience going to be? I'm going to bring in multiple HD cameras, my own lav mic, blah, blah, blah. We'll just have all this set. This is going to be great. I was more excited about doing this presentation than I have been about any other speech I'd ever given, because it was going to be in a church. And very quickly, I'd imagine, you know, I got a notice back saying, actually, it turns out we have something scheduled. Same time, so we can't do that.
Oh man, that's dirty. That is dirty. That would have been epic. Are you not doing the thing at all, or just in another location?
No, they weren't going to allow that. I mean, because me give a 1 hour presentation in PowerPoint on evolution, really, in a church? It would have to be a very progressive church, and they would have to be concerned about real science and distinguishing themselves from creationists. But if they're going to have me on stage. If they're going to have me on stage to give like equal time with a creationist, then why would they want me to do a 1 hour presentation? Mm. Even though
that's telling,
even
right
though
there.
We know that these churches will hire people from Answers in Genesis University to show up and give hours and hours and hours and hours of pseudoscience gobbledygook where they just stand there and lie to the people. That's okay. And we can go to public schools where they'll teach pseudoscience gobbledygook in public schools, you know, under various guises of teaching, you know, the Bible as literature, for example, wherein they will use those classes to teach the Bible as history instead of as literature, and so on. But how often do you get that rare opportunity where you get to teach actual science in a church? That would have been stellar.
That would have been
amazing. I think.
Yeah, and I was going to be doing it.
But that tells you everything.
This was supposed to be in the student center of the church, which deals with middle school and high school kids.
But how do they expect all that to be condensed down an hour? I mean, I don't think creationists understand the complexity and amount of research that has been done in evolutionary studies. You could spend 3-4 years.
They understand it enough to be smart enough not to let it happen.
It would have been a 7,000-word presentation with roughly 100 slides.
CGI?
I would have packed the information in. But I was so excited about it. This
that's where it should be taught, though. I have no problem with evolution being discussed in church. Why not?
If you don't have, and if you're confident in your position, if you're confident in your holy book, like you claim to be, you should welcome any type of opportunity for people.
I don't want to fault them. They did ask. Somebody in that congregation did ask for me to do this. So somebody was open to that idea. And I don't know that the reason they canceled was for any that they may have been exactly the way it was expressed to me. That might be 100% true. It's just not likely.
You know what? Why don't you go to another church? Just go to a church somewhere and see if they'll let you do it. I mean, in fact, I might even think about doing some man on the street stuff. And I was thinking, how about getting some questions together and just ask random people simple questions that we think we would all know about these topics and see how few of them actually do. I mean, things we take for granted. I'd be interested in that. Very, very basic.
I think you'd be surprised at your results, I think. I don't think
I would
it would
now.
Out,
4 years ago, I would have. I would like, not now. 4 years ago, I would have been like very surprised. Now I'm like, yeah, I don't expect people.
Well, I got to tell you that we tried that experiment too, and it was very different than what I expected to come out of it. There was a documentary film crew that put a hidden camera on me, and a hidden camera and microphone, and had me walk into an area of downtown Dallas, and go up to the bus stop, and just talk to the random assemblage of people at the bus stop. People maybe waiting for a bus, or people who just never leave the bus stop. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we got a mm-hmm. nice little collection of people that may or may not be educated at all. And I inquired a handful of basic questions. I don't remember the specifics of the questions, but, you know, basic knowledge of religion and politics kind of thing. And I think we focused almost entirely on religion in politics or religion in general. And I was surprised that every single person that I talked to had a more adept understanding. This completely threw me, had a more skeptical perspective than I would have imagined the common man did. And this was every person I interviewed individually. I had them all separate so that each one didn't know what the other one was saying. I would just go sit down with some people and talk to them. I'm like, how is this possible? How are every one of you completely skeptical? All of them. You know, and it threw my, I love finding out that I had a prejudice that I didn't know that I had, because it puts my shit in check. So when I go to the bus stop and I pick out somebody like, yeah, I bet he never went through, he never got to high school. It's not like he didn't get out of high school. He never got in to high school. So I go talk to that guy and he knows more than I thought the average man should. It defies all the polls that I've seen. Now, it's a tiny little sample set. I talked to 10, 12 people, but still.
Absolutely. And I think we can agree that based on this, this past election, polls don't really mean what they used to anymore. I don't think they really have their fingers on the pulse. But when you're talking about you teaching, that's kind of why we wanted to bring you on here to kind of speak to that a little bit, because I had a really good friend of mine in college. His name's Derek Hagen. So if you're listening, hello, Derek. Derek was a performer. He did improv at a comedy club that was downtown when I was in college. And I would go and do shows, you know, every so many weekends at that comedy club. And we would work together. Fantastic guy. I mean, just brilliantly funny, smart, as one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. And he does this thing called mad science, where he actually goes from school to school, dressed as a mad scientist. And he does, you know, really cool interactive science experiments with kids, and he just goes from class to class and school to school and does that. And I hadn't spoke with him in probably, when I moved from where I went to school, probably been 5 years since I last spoke to him. And it was actually the episode where you and Jeremy, I think, had your talk. He messaged me on Facebook and said, I recently came across your channel. I didn't know that you were doing this. This is so cool. Will you do me a favor? And I said, sure. And he said, I want you to pass this along to Aaron. I've watched Aaron for years, ever since Aaron hit the scene. And the way that you actually did your videos and what you presented in your videos, he modeled in his science experiments that he teaches to those kids. So I think it shows that, you know, that's what you like to do and that's what you're passionate about, because that's one person. And the only reason that we know about it is because I knew him, you know, from our time together at university. But there's no telling how many other hundreds, thousands of people that's the case for, that your videos are something that influences the way that they are able to kind of push that in a way that you can't really do from a state sponsored angle. The state's going to come in and say, well, we have this particular way we want to do it. These are the certain things that you can cover, you can't cover. But when they go home and watch YouTube, the teachers are getting influenced by people like yourself. And so you getting out there and getting that message out to a larger audience, I think is super important, especially in today's day, when Steve has a fourth grade teacher that believes the earth is flat. How can you get a job teaching kids if you think the earth is flat?
That's what I was, and I wish she would have told me at the time, but of course this was long before I was doing any of this, but I don't know how that manifests. How do you have somebody in educational fields that could be literally that stupid? It seems to be ironic. And by the way, you know, you're talking about people that have had influence. I don't know if Aaron, have you been really been seeing them, but I've been tagging things occasionally on different things from comments from people that have used your name and my name and other people's name that have actually changed their entire life because of things that have been said, things that I've watched on videos. And that's just, there's no greater words to describe that feeling. And you have it, I have it happen occasionally, you know, very, very few. I can count them on maybe a hand or two. You've had dozens and probably even hundreds. And so that must be a hell of a feeling to know that you've had so much influence on people to get them to think critically and understand concepts that maybe they didn't quite understand before, but now they do.
I blogged about this a few days ago. Somebody notified me that 3 weeks ago, he was a Bible-believing, door-to-door canvassing Jehovah's Witness. And he came to somebody's door, and that person cited me and told him to go look up my videos. The guy said he consumed a bunch of my videos, and then he had to write me to tell me that he's an atheist now.
Hey, that was me. I mean, you and Matt Dillahunty's video when you were on the Atheist Experience. That's actually how we, I asked you to, the reason I asked you to come on the show in January when we first started, because you, that episode where you and him were on the Atheist Experience, I was at my youth group that Sunday, and a couple of my friends were talking about this video that was on YouTube of these atheists. Who do they think they are saying this and that? And I walked over and leaned in and watched a couple of seconds of the video and said, send that to me. I'll watch it later. And that's what broke the dam for me, watching the, because when you go through for 25 years, you go through, like, it's almost like a bubble. It's so weird, but you don't hear the bad things. Like, I don't remember ever hearing about the slavery issue, or if your daughter gets raped, the rapist has the opportunity to either pay whatever fee that or fine that was, or marry the actual victim. You don't hear any of that stuff. So when I got home and watched that video, I was going, and, you know, internally you're going, that's not true. There's no way they're making this stuff up. And then you cite the verse, you go to the verse, you read it. Okay, how can this line up with all this other stuff that you're being told every Sunday and Wednesday night? It just does not line up. And you can't, I don't think, if you're honest, I don't think you can try to make that work. So, yeah. I mean, you and him are, you know, responsible for me becoming clear.
I just listened to Apologia's and Aaron's latest on Apologia's channel today. And I think it was Seth said the best, or maybe it was you. I think it was you, Aaron, that said the best way to become an atheist is to read the Bible. And like the first time I read it cover to cover, it was the Catholic Bible. And yeah, I was like, wow, there's so much nasty in this book.
Yeah. It's strange that you don't hear that when you're in it. I know that doesn't sound like it makes sense unless you were, you know, in it, but you really don't hear the bad stuff. And why you're not able to go back and, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but you don't go back and look for it. So it's literally sitting there until somebody goes, hey, what about this? How do you square this up? And you can't.
What's more frustrating to me is when I meet people who know that they can't defend their belief and they don't care. They're going to keep believing it even if they know it's wrong. That's the one that mystifies me. And it's like that Jaronism thing. You know, he knows that we can get, you know, if we had the money for airplane tickets, we'd be definitely disproving his ass in a very public way. But he's not interested in that. He does not care what the truth is. He knows that the truth is not what he believes it to be. He believes in terms of make-believe. It's the power of pretend. And because he gets some kind of weird fame or notoriety. And have you seen his fans?
We see them on a daily basis. Yes,
they're bizarre. Wow. We see them on a daily basis. We've seen them. They've come over and said hi.
And I'll tell you this. We had Reds put a challenge to Jaronism to come up with a model of the flat earth that worked. Jaronism said that he had one, and they agreed.
This was after he talked to me, right?
Yes, this was.
Oh yeah,
this was this past Friday. This past Friday. So everybody is coming into this thing where Jaren's got a model that he's going to put forth, and we're going to, you know, nobody expected it to do anything, but we're going to listen to whatever it was. So there are close to 1,000 people watching live this debate. We're all sitting here waiting patiently to hear this model. He goes on for the first 15 minutes, no mention of a model, only about what feels good. If it feels good, that's how you know it's true. That you got to feel it in on the inside. That's how you know that what you're dealing with makes sense and is true. That NASA is the people who are lying to you, and they're trying to deceive you.
So when I get drunk, I really am 10 foot tall and bulletproof?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was confirmed. Yeah. That was literally what he was saying, though. And so Sean, who was moderating on here, stopped him and said, "You said you were coming up with a model. Where's your model?" I think it was 45 minutes into the debate, Reds asked him a very, I think, telling question that it should have ended right there. Red said, "Are you saying that you do not have a working model of a flat Earth?" "No, I do not." "Will you admit now that as it stands, our model of a global Earth works better than the one that you have?" He fully admitted that live to 1,000 people. And then the next day, went straight back to pushing his bullshit about why the globe Earth is not a thing.
He didn't lose one sub. He didn't lose one Patreon. His followers don't give a fuck. They're just as dishonest as he is.
In fact, exactly. Didn't the next day when he accused you and Steve of being liars?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Which is a badge of honor. I mean, as the engineer says, and we agree wholeheartedly, to be called a liar by a flat earther, you're doing something right.
We were painted as the, of course, as liars. And I think that's fantastic. If they're me and Steve a liar, then we're doing something correct, I think.
Isn't it disturbing, though, that he doesn't lose any supporters? I mean, we see this with so many different things. I mean, look across politics, you know, as well as science. I mean, we have people that are doing outrageous things, saying ridiculous, indefensible things, and their people can show, my man is a liar. He lies every day. He's lied about everything. He's lied to me, and he's fucked me over because of his lies, and I'm going to continue to support him, and I won't hear anything against him. The hell is that about?
And God is the only answer. That's the thing. That's the crazy thing with that, though. You have evangelicals who, for years, push against everything that Donald Trump stands for. Like, if it was 4 years earlier, they would have been against and just downing everything and condemning everything that Trump does. But because they feel like they have a hand in the White House now, they're willing to look over, forgive, not pay any attention to when he comes out every day doing things that they get up on Sunday mornings and say, this is a sin, this is an abomination. The porn stars, the lying, the deceit.
Yeah, I think we need to save that for another show.
Yeah, that could go on for 2 more hours.
Yeah, that could. It's because I think, and this is on the flatter thing with Jaren, and the reason that he doesn't lose subs, because that crowd likes being the black sheep. They like the edginess of their movement. They like that it's being looked down upon, or that the shills try to stop them from finding the truth. 90% of them, I guarantee you, know there's nothing to a flat earth. Nothing. Zip. Zilch, nada. But it's a cool club to be in because you get all kind of attention and you get all this kind of publicity, and you're in the middle of everything, and you get to go around and troll. It's a club. That's all.
Okay, it's a club for adults. I was on somebody, and I look at different Facebook pages every now and again, including people in my own family. And I'm looking at people in my own family's Facebook, and I'm thinking, oh man, everything on this page is ultra right wing, religious, racist. It's all of these stereotypes all together. Nothing is correct. Everything is demonstrably wrong. we'll never have that conversation. That person and I will never even be able to discuss any of the posts on his Facebook. It just won't happen. Because he doesn't care. Right.
Yeah.
What's real and what isn't?
They're intellectually lazy. I mean, with our experience of flat earthers, even the ones that either believe or don't believe in it, all of them have one thing that's ubiquitously in common with them all, is that they don't want to actually go out and learn their actual stuff.
I have an uncle who said, well, I'm never going to vote for a Democrat because I'm a veteran. Yeah, so let's go down through the history of what the Republicans have been doing to your veterans' benefits and which Democrats have been standing up as heroes to try to make sure you still have veterans' benefits. But we can't have
the Republicans are famous.
There's just no talk. Yeah. I'm a Republican. You don't talk to me. That's it. That's the end of this discussion.
Yeah.
The Republicans have it until it kills me.
Because the Republicans have the image that of a patriot. If you're a Republican, that patriot. Right. If you're a Democrat, that means social justice. You're only after the minorities and trying to push special interest on people who don't want those things pushed on them. It's not that they know anything about the issues themselves or which party is voting in what direction.
Well, that's the mystifying thing. The issues don't even matter. They're not even to be discussed.
Right. Yeah, it's what do you do? There's a strong dichotomy between Republicans and Democrats such that they think that you can't cross that dividing line. And I agree with you. The Republicans seem to have mastered that image of American, you know, nostalgia, American pie, mom and baseball and gun toting. I don't think that's really the case. I think the Republican Party has changed dramatically in my own life. I would go back to the old school type Reagan era of Republicanism, but you know, I'm a social justice, or I'm not social. I'm socially leaning liberal, but I mean, this is the state of our politics that both parties don't have anything to offer anybody anymore. I think.
Well, he's going to win again. It's hard for us to look at, you know, both parties in the sense of both parties. I mean, because do you realize that independent parties, there are numerous independent parties that now outnumber, you know, collectively, they outnumber Democrats and Republicans combined.
Yep.
So there is a problem with the two-party system, because if you don't want to vote Republican, who are very obviously a huge problem on a lot of their policies, and I can't find anybody who can defend anything on the Republican platform, anything that Trump has done that they can actually say is a good thing to do, you know, or that they can defend as such. So, well, I'm proud of the tax cuts, which don't benefit anybody but the super rich, and doesn't benefit the person who's telling me that they're proud of those tax cuts.
Right. You know, that's the crazy thing.
What the hell are you on about? Show me something that would. But you know, we were still on the politics thing. We weren't going to do that this episode.
Philosophy of politics.
It seems inescapable, though. Here's the last thing I'll say about it. I am terrifyingly afraid that he's going to win again. And I don't know why. I can't understand how that would happen again, but I have this very sinking feeling that it's going to happen again.
Well, we were thinking, I mean, I don't know if Arn remembers, you remember back just before, which it was just after, I think, either Trump got elected or was nominated in office, we had a hangout with DPR Jones, and we were talking about the probability of him being impeached within a certain amount of time. And I believe you took 6 months.
I took 6 months in what?
That how long it would take before Trump got impeached. I think you took 6 months. I took a year,
I gave too much credit. Remember when you said I give too much credit to people, that I think that they're smarter than they are? They habitually disappoint me.
Yep. Amen. I think that sums up everything with politics and the religious.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this. I really wasn't expecting this. When Trump got up there and said that his intelligence agencies say that it was the Russians, but he has Putin saying that it's not the Russians. You know, and so who's he going to believe? He's going to believe Putin, right? But then the next day, he does the wouldn't thing. But if you take into context what he said the previous day, the rest of what he said the previous day, and the addition of what he said that day too, he said, you know, might have been the Russians, Could have been a lot of other people too. That is not accepting what your intelligence agencies, because they didn't say could have been a lot of other people too. Could have been the Russians. No, they said it was the Russians, not a lot of other people.
Well, he doesn't accept his science advisors either, so.
Right, he doesn't. Well, he's lying to the public both times.
Sure.
The intelligence agencies
is how the Republicans then say, oh, well, he changed would to wouldn't. And so we could ignore everything that he just said and everything that he said the previous day. And everything
I'll tell you why.
Prior to that as well. And so we'll just say, oh, he clarified and he's corrected it. When obviously he hasn't. The man just said it was an incredible idea that we should let dictators name our citizens that we would then extradite to them with no evidence of wrongdoing. Because some dictator says, I want that guy dead.
Wow.
No, fortunately, Congress stood against him unanimously. And this is one of those, how rare is it
that
you get a unanimous vote out of Congress?
You know you're fucked up when all of Congress is against
him. But he's still in power. They voted unanimously against him because that was such an atrocious thing to do, but nobody will speak out against him. Now, in private, off the record, they'll say, as long as you don't post my name, they'll say, I can't vote against him because it would be political suicide.
Right.
You can't denigrate the president because the president controls the party, or rather, the party controls the president to the point of using this incompetent to absorb the shots while they undermine the Constitution with him in that seat. And so that he takes the blame for everything and they can get away with whatever they want to do. And that's why that's why they have this thing erected the way that they have. So that they can do
the intelligence agencies don't have a P tape that they can hold over Donald Trump's head.
I don't even think it's a P tape. How ridiculous is that? Look at everything going against Trump. Would it matter if they had a P tape at this point?
Nope. When people,
I think they have something. I don't know if it's a P tape, but I think they have
their age and people want to give.
He's got something. He's got something on him because if you notice his body language around Putin, like you know Trump.
Yeah, I think he's got something on Putin, but it's not like that. I think Putin has something on Trump.
Oh yeah,
the effect that Trump is mesmerized by real powerful people. Because Trump has a narcissistic personality disorder that causes him to look up to despots because they're the strong ones. That's why he expressed admiration for Hitler and for Mussolini and for Kim Jong, both Il and Un, and of course for Putin. Didn't he also say, I think he even praised Stalin at one point. So he loves dictators because they're the real powerful people and he's terribly insecure in himself. You can have thousands of people protesting in the streets that he showed up in their country, and he will just pretend that there's always protesters for anybody that ever goes over there. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter that this is the first time ever that this has ever happened. He thinks it happens all the time, and he thinks there's other thousands that are protesting for or that are demonstrating for him.
Now, and
there's no way to reach this guy.
It has to be something devastating. Bizarre. It's not just financial. It's not just, you know, something that would blow over. I think Putin has something that would be just unrecoverable for Trump. And that has to be something pretty
money. He's going to empower Trump to be a king.
Yep. Or there's, I mean, there's
more collusion there's all kind of, to the extent we've never seen before.
Think about it. If Putin Trump promises, for example, that Trump could have dictatorial power.
Yeah, he'd take it.
He'd be like, sign me there. There we go.
I think that the fact that we not only elected this man, but that the potential is still there to do it again deserves some taking a step back and really looking at what's going on in the country. Because there's a deeper issue when everybody sees what's going on with him. He's like the crazy uncle at a family reunion. You know he's crazy. You know what he's capable of, and you know that he could snap at any moment, but no one says anything at all. It's, Trump's dumb. He says stupid shit, but there's no way he'll do anything too crazy until he does something too crazy, and then it's too late.
Yeah, I mean,
He's already done stuff that is too crazy, and that would never have been tolerated in any prior president.
No. Wasn't he just threatening Iran in a tweet just like yesterday or something like that?
Yeah. What would the Republicans have done or said about if Obama had done any one of the things that Trump has done?
Oh, they would have lost their shit.
Well, he wasn't born here, so they don't really take that into account. That's the fucked up part. We voted the man, the very man that came out and said that the president that we voted in twice wasn't born here. We then turned around and voted him in office. That's what's insane.
Indirectly, he's calling said, other people stupid then, by doing that.
And then Trump said that Obama was born here, period. And then retracted that same point again.
Yes. I don't know how this, any of this works any longer. I just don't understand it.
Trump is out of his mind. That's what it is. I heard some guy describe it beautifully the other day, where he says that Trump is like a 12-year-old at a meeting of microbiologists. You know, you're completely lost, don't understand anything that's going on in any conversation. But he can't let on about that. So he waffles his way through discussions the same way that a child would waffle his way through a book report of a book he hadn't read. This is why Trump behaves and talks the way he does. He literally has no idea what he's talking about, ever.
But why do people like it? That's what I can't grasp.
Because he's undermining the Constitution in exactly the way the oligarchs of this country want him to.
No, I think
they are going to praise him for that. And they're going to support him for that because he's also taking the blame and the fire. And when they get rid of him, they will have already ruined everything for everybody without any accountability. Trump will take the heat for it because he's too stupid to realize what a stoogey is.
Yeah, I think you said it best. It reminds me a lot of the episode of The Twilight Zone. It's a Good Life with Cloris Leachman and Billy Mumy, where you know, the person got sent to the field. I think that people are scared of Trump and such. If you speak out against him, then like you said, it's political suicide. He is that little 12-year-old kid that's going to send you to the field, I think.
A thug. He's a thug. But I think it had a lot to do with watching the world burn. I think people got into the voting booths. They didn't like their two choices. And they stopped a little bit too long when it came time to voting, where they said, you know what? I wonder what it would be like if Trump was president. It might be funny to see him.
I can't take it back. That's too much. I've said it millions of times prior to that. I wanted to see the world burn. I just didn't realize how hot of a temperature it'd get to, because I underestimated his incompetence.
But the problem is they don't see the world as burning. They see it as, for some reason, they don't see the things that I think most rational people see, the issues. They see it as, oh, there he is sticking it to the man again. That's why we voted him in. He tells it like it is. He's draining the swamp.
I'm going to do a podcast about environmental issues. And
yeah.
It's strange how badly we've got all of this. Just imagine that you go out to the beach and you're able to do something. You're able to build a house like in a minute. Right here, so you go out to the beach and you build your house in a minute, and you're not aware that the tide is going to come in and that the water is going to be 20 feet deeper than it is right now. You're in your house, you're good, everything's fine right now. You don't somehow know it's coming. The United States, Americans in general, have no idea what they're bringing on. And the problems with the environmental issues is they are not just real. And not just important. They're not even just the most important thing that we should be concerned about. They are more important than anything we've ever been concerned about.
Agreed. And they're rolling back regulations. This week, they rolled back, I forget what the two were, but they're making it easier to dump more shit into
Yep. Yep.
So not only are we just not doing anything about it, we're now actually making it worse.
So I don't know what we were coming on here to talk about, but I guarantee you start talking about the environment, you're going to start shutting people down, because that is the scariest thing we can talk about.
Well, I mean, I'm totally fine with talking about the climate. I think it's something that
might be, but I don't think your audience is.
Well, Steve can get a pulse for him. Well, if we want to go in a direction where we kind of get on to what we were going to talk about, I thought maybe it would be beneficial not only for, for Steve and I, because doing this, we deal a lot with people who come on and they have arguments for, you know, creation science. And I think it's good, since we're in the middle of it, to be aware of certain type of arguments and rebuttals to what people bring up. There's one example that I want to bring up here in just a second that Steve has explained, I don't know how many times to, I don't know how many people, and the same people will come back on and make those same exact points. But to the people who watch us, I get a lot of emails that saying that I was having a conversation with my aunt the other day or my brother, and they brought this up and they brought that up. I thought it'd be kind of cool to have you come on and hit what you think are the biggest claims that, that Christians make in terms of creation science, and the best ways to, in a, like a casual conversation, if people were having with their family or whatever, to push back on that and feel like they have some kind of knowing what they're talking about. Because go ahead.
It sounds like you're asking for a summary of the foundational falsehoods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I mean, the first thing is that they do seem to have a false dichotomy where everything boils down to whether there's a God or not a God. That's the thing that bothers me the most. They have a worldview where creation accounts for life, the universe, and everything. And so they imagine that evolution must be the one and only possible alternative viewpoint, and that it has to be a worldview, that evolution also includes the beginning of the universe and the beginning of life and all of this. So they have to put everything in. Remember, they're fundamentalists. They want a very fundamental understanding. Mm-hmm. So they put it into this false dichotomy so that they can weigh it out equally. There's also a false equivalence thing where, you know, whatever you believe for whatever reason is an equal opinion. It doesn't matter that, you know, one can be proven right and the other can be proven wrong, both at the same time. So that's the first thing, is just the very perspective that they start from. Then they're at the very best, the best that we can say about any of the claims of creationism is that none of them can be proven to be true. That's mm-hmm. the best we can say.
Okay.
Because there's a whole lot we can prove to be false. So then we just have to get into specifics about what the claims are.
Well, let me bring this up as an example, because we hear this on this show. It's the one example. It irks me every time I hear it, and I don't know why it keeps getting brought up time and time again, because like I said, Steve has, I think, done a really good job and has actually spoke to the woman. But Steve, I'm going to let you explain it. The dinosaur Tish and the
Mary Schweitzer?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. For brevity's sake, Dr. Mary Schweitzer is a very famous scientist that basically did a study on a T-Rex femur, which was about 65 million years old. And in her study, she actually found what's called collagen, which is a type of protein, a structural protein. And this was very revolutionary because people, the scientists at the time, didn't know, think that things like that could last that long. There had, and to explain it, that she came up with a preservation mechanism dealing with iron from heme. And so there's a couple of papers she wrote on this. And yet there are still creation scientists out there that are using her name to say that it has proved young earth creationism or demonstrated evidence for young earth creationism. Although she is a Christian, she is a theistic evolutionist, and she's very adamant about her God belief, but she takes science and believes in science wholeheartedly. And she's actually told them, stop using my name. Nobody's ever said that I couldn't do any of this. And that, because they said that she was in fear for her job, so she had to change her story, and there's persecution against her. She didn't have any of that. So I think that's the story that you're kind of relating to, because she's a very nice woman and brilliant. And I've read her stuff, and it's amazing. But young earth creationists still twist this to make it sound like, oh, we found red blood cells, which by the way, she didn't, that means that the earth can only be 6,000 years old.
So I had this argument.
The same people do.
Yeah. I had this argument with Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and, oh man. Really? Oh,
yeah. Man. Yeah, I did have seen. Yeah. Yeah.
We had a written debate that I couldn't believe that he agreed to, and even less than I couldn't believe that he actually jumped into. I mean, he actually did it for a couple.
You've been on his radio though show, right?
I was. Yeah, I just was really surprised. I was really surprised that even after he promised his readers on his show that he would do this written debate with me, I was surprised that he actually showed up.
Wow!
Because he brought in like three or four scientific articles, and he said what they said, you know, in each of these articles that supports his point. Well, we read through them, None of the articles said anything remotely similar to what he said they did. None of them.
That's a creationist and known thing. That
exactly. So the thing about him saying that they found blood cells, I had already told him before that, before I even knew what articles he might be citing, I said, you might find, you know, like where you will have everything transferred into silicates and other minerals, but except in the cases of the of pre-existing things that are heavier than the minerals. Like if you already have a metal in there, mm-hmm. you're going to still have a metal in there. That's not going to be replaced in the fossilization process. So we get to these red blood cells, and what it turns out it is not red blood cells. I said you might have the constituent components of some of these things, of some of these organic materials after they have decomposed, mm-hmm. but you're not going to have the actual thing. And so that's exactly what it found. Yep. Heme is the constituent component. It's made of iron. Hello. So that
it's the residues. They're residues.
Exactly. So you can't from her own mouth, though. You can't fossilize blood beyond the point of heme.
But she even said from her own mouth, "I did not have enough evidence to say we found red blood cells." So anybody who says Satan. We found them was wrong from her Satan. Own statement. And yet, young creationism, they'll call her a liar. Right. Instead of, you know, instead of going, "Hey, here's a scientist who, you know, is saying that she didn't find this," they're now making this narrative. She's lying. They've suppressed the evidence. That's how delusional they get.
Because it's all about make believe. It is not about understanding truth. That's the problem that you have, not just with young earth creationism, but also flat earthers and all the geocentrists and all of it, the homeopathy, crystal energy, all of that would.
I had a crazy uncle that was into all that.
It has to do with wanting to believe something that isn't really true and being determined to convince yourself that's true, regardless whether it is. And you don't even want to know the truth if it isn't the thing you want to believe.
Well, I grew out of that like in 10 or 11 when I was so I actually did the experiment, like the triangle with the razor blade underneath it, you know, pyramid power. Oh, doesn't work. Yeah. Doesn't work. Well, you know what? You experiment as a kid. You don't know. I tried the telepathy thing. I tried all that kind of stuff. It was all bullshit.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall.
Wouldn't it have been great if they taught people that, you know, there's two things that you need for anything that you want to assert. First, you have to have the evidence to back it up first, right? If you want to come up with a hypothesis, you want to say that this is your hypothesis. Everybody says, "Well, I have a theory." No, you don't.
You have a guess.
You have a blind ass guess.
Yeah, or they use theory wrong. Or they
you don't have a hypothesis either until you've got two things. One, you have to have the observation. You're going to explain the observation. Now, when you're making up stuff about religion, you don't even have an observation. Life exists. The universe exists. There must therefore there must be a creator. No, that's that's not an explanation of any kind. Right. It exists. Therefore, magic. It's not an explanation. So you first have to have the observation, then you have to have the explanation of the observation. And hey, you know what? Magic is not an explanation. I said magic words and it happened. No, that's not it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm going to do a hangout here in the next couple of days on what's called the argument from contingency. And one of the things about the argument contingency is it doesn't explain anything. And even if you think it's a good argument, it doesn't get you anywhere. Positing God does not explain anything for multiple different reasons dealing with possible worlds and
necessities and
stuff like that. But it doesn't really do anything. It doesn't get you anywhere, any closer to an explanation. So I don't understand why people posit God for a scientific explanation, for theology, philosophy, whatever. But for science, it doesn't work. That's why science excludes gods and supernatural things from the onset. It says
the other two things you have to have. Is one, you have to have a way of showing that there's some truth to it. You have to be able to show the truth to it. It means what parts can you show to be true, right? If you've got no part of it, I believe in magic. Good. Can you show that there's magic? Show me that. You know, how do we know that there's magic? And more importantly, how do we know if there's not? You come up with a hypothesis. There's got to be a way to test it, that if it's wrong, we could show that it's wrong. Every hypothesis has to have that. If it's wrong, how do we show it's wrong? And of course, religious believers don't want to play any part of that.
What about the F word, the faith word? Because oftentimes you hear with us, I know me and Steve get it a lot. We're told that we have to have just as much faith as a Christian.
Remember what I said about false equivalence, the fallacy of false equivalence? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Faith and belief are not equivalent concepts.
Yeah, let's see. Right, if you believe something, then that's your faith. If you're convinced of something for any reason, that's your faith. That's also equivocation, because we know that that's not what so I'm writing a speech about this right now, where we talk past each other because we use the same words, but we have different lexicons for what these words mean.
Right.
So, I mean, I did this, I did the blog post called Offerings to the Atheist Dictionary, where I clarify the atheist definitions. And I should have put, I didn't put, but I should have put, you know, the religious definitions, because they're different. Just put them in a different color. Same word.
That's a good point.
Well, completely different definition.
The way I use it, if you're convinced of something, you believe it. That's what convinced means, to believe something. Faith, the way I take it, is when you have no good reason to believe something, when you have no evidence you have nothing to substantiate to justification for your belief. You're just taking on blind faith. I use the term faith blindly. I think there's some kind of justification for using those words almost interchangeably, faith and blind faith. I don't know what the difference is. But belief,
I don't think there beliefs. Is one, being honest.
Yeah, I don't think there, I can't think of a difference between faith and blind faith. To me, pretty much synonymous. But beliefs, we all have beliefs. When people tell me I have no beliefs, so therefore I don't believe that you exist, Steve, that sounds weird, because then they have no knowledge, because in order to have knowledge, you have to have beliefs.
Well, so I think we agree that knowledge is a subset of belief, but is distinguished in that it is demonstrable and measurably accurate.
Yeah, there's a degree of qualification with knowledge. There's much more things you have to demonstrate to have a knowledge claim. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so when Thea says, I know something, like I know the Garden of Eden, I know Noah's Ark, any of that stuff, I don't know how they've reached that level of demonstration.
I had somebody, I was at a protest. I was protesting a church 2 weeks ago, and somebody from that congregation came up to me and said, just understand that there is one person who knows there's a God. And I said, no,
that was a good video.
Pretending to know what you don't really know. And that's what you're demonstrating right now.
Yeah, I think they throw around the word knowledge way too much, because
he was uppity. That dude was.
Well, like, you're way too in. True though, Kyle. In order to have knowledge, it has to be true. And I'm sorry, but
no. I've seen
that. The guy that he was not true.
No. I'm talking about the guy that he was. That came up to him in the video. He was very uppity. Like Arn's level of cool in situations. There was that case, and then the case where I believe you were protesting protesting. You were at the dinosaur museum, I think. And a guy came up to you and was like, inches from your face. Remember that?
There wasn't a dinosaur. There was a Texas Homeschool Association.
Oh, the Homeschool Association.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Guys. Yeah. Yeah.
You might be talking. The way that I touched my nose to his nose in what would have been an explosive situation.
Well, but the thing is, the guy was like, maybe half of, not even like height wise, but shoulder wise, thin, lanky. I mean, what was he going to do if you decided to step off on him? I mean, it was going to be bad news for, and there was a part of me that kind of wanted that. I kind of.
Well, they get a false bravado because they've got God with their side, just like that lady that ran for office with giving out the flyers saying Jesus, endorsed by Jesus, and she lost. It's like, what is that? I love that. Yeah, she had flyers and had a little check mark with her name on it. Underneath it said endorsed by Jesus, and she lost the election.
That's funny. The bad thing, though, is that I see more and more two things. People painting atheism as a religion and somehow thinking that they can lump all atheists, because the only thing that unites atheists is their lack of belief in a God. Everything else is different. Everything else is, you know, they have different views on abortion. I mean, you name it, it's all different. There's not one ideology that unites atheists.
They have different views painting on that, viruses. They have different views on viruses.
Yeah,
clearly viruses are contentious among atheists.
but two is this move to paint, in addition to that, to paint science. And I don't know why this is catching on too, but there's this word called scientism that keeps getting floundered about, like it's I don't even know how to describe it because it's so ridiculous.
It's a combination of false equivalence and projection, and the type of projection that they're doing is one that some people have called the thing where you accuse somebody of the thing that you're guilty of, right? Well, this is where you're accusing someone else of being guilty of the thing you're only guilty of. Right. So it is the pot calling the silverware black.
Yeah, there actually, I mean, there actually is a term out there, scientism. It's very rarely used, but the actual scientism is where you have a scientific method. A scientific method is only supposed to be used for science. And there are instances of people inappropriately trying to use a scientific method for other things. That's when scientism comes in.
Yeah,
and
so somebody wrote... Not,
that's all it is.
70, 80 years ago, somebody wrote something about the central dogma of cellular biology. And then the religious institutions glommed on that. See, he said the word dogma. That proves science is a religion.
That's like the first thing you learn in biology is central dogma of biology, right?
There was early. I hate to do this to you, Aaron, but there we get so many posts about it that I feel like it's necessary to address for the one person that you might be able to reach, and that is explaining what Kent got wrong about the word kinds, because I hear that, I see that every day. There's a post about comment or it from kinds, like, well, he still couldn't explain what kinds meant, or you still can't say that a dog will come from a not dog. And I know that you've done
what
it
kind
to
of
death,
dog? But...
exactly.
What I mean, kind of dog is it? Is it a hound? Is it a terrier? Is one of the toys? Is it one of the working dogs? What kind of dog are we talking about? The word kind can just apply to every damn thing, right? What kind of wrench do you have? What kind of screwdriver? Is that Phillips or flathead? So the word kind is very ambiguous in all other applications. But when we're talking about evolution versus creationism and what do they call I forget what their replacement for phylogenetics.
Baryonymology.
Yes. So when we're talking about that, then there's a distinction. And I repeated this 50 times during your show.
Yeah.
That a kind differs from a mere phylogenetic clade in one respect. If you want to say that you already have a parent category of rodents, and from that you get a different kind of rodent, and that's called a squirrel, or as Kent Hovind put it, squirrel. you might have 200 different species of squirrel, but they will always be squirrels, which of course are always going to be rodents, right? So the kind never changed, just because it became a squirrel, but it's still a rodent. So you have all these other rodents, and they're all the same kind. Well, no. If a rodent began, or excuse me, if a squirrel began from parent category of rodents, that's not a kind. That's a clade. The difference between a kind and a clade is that the squirrel didn't come from a rodent. The squirrel came from magic.
Boom.
Abracadabra, boom. God spoke squirrel into existence.
Get yourself a glass of water.
You know, even if that was the case, how do you get 200 different variations of squirrel, chipmunks, marmots, whatever? I mean, how many groundhogs, prairie dogs? These are all types of squirrels, right? They're all types of rodents. How do you get so much variety in only 7,000 years to explain all that? Or did God
create cryogenesis?
God couldn't have created each one separately, right? So if he created one squirrel kind, how do we get the different types of
squirrels? It's funny watching Kent Hovind's own presentations where he talks about ring species. And he talks about how new species develop that are not able to breed with their parent or sister groups anymore. So that's the creation of a new clade from an ancestral clade. So he understands all that. He gets all that. He's arguing for an evolutionary position, but is too damn dumb to realize that that's what he's doing.
You know, I should mention ring species. I might want to bring this up because I just had this discussion the other day. There are people actually that say there's no such thing as a ring species. And what they're doing is they misunderstand what Jerry Coyne's saying. Jerry Coyne wrote about this. He had a study that he was paid to do. And he found that there's no true ring species. In other words, there's always going to be hybridizations and gene flow and other things affecting the structure of the ring. But he admitted they're still ring species. And so there are creationists out there going, oh, even ring species were debunked. There's no such thing. And that was just, again, a bastardization of what they wanted to read into what Coyne was saying.
Okay, let me give you an example of that.
But they're not pure ring species.
Things tend to be a lot more complicated than our illustrations, which are intended to simplify them. So I got into a discussion with this professor of philosophy who is very snooty, and I'm sure he doesn't know exactly what I look like because he was looking at me down the end of his nose. But he told me Yeah. He told me that Daniel Dennett said that the mind does not in fact exist, and that Daniel Dennett does not exist because the mind does not exist. And this is what Dennett said. And so I have to agree with Dennett, because Dennett is an atheist who believes the mind, and that Daniel Dennett does not believe that he himself exists. Now, of course, I have to go back and say, what the hell is he referencing? I mean, I know Dennett, but I mean, no, I still got to go figure out what is he talking about? What did he get so wrong? And eventually I found it. And of course, Dennett didn't say anything like that. Surprise, surprise. He said, the mind does not exist in any one single part of the brain. There isn't a part, an individual location of the brain in which the mind exists. Now, if you stop it there, maybe you could translate it. But I think we can already see that it's not fair to say that the mind does not exist.
No.
The mind is
not at
the
all.
Mind is the total.
It's an emergence.
It's an emergent property of the totality of the brain, of all of its functions, all the data that it produces in the memory regions and everywhere else. That's the fair statement. The mind does exist. Daniel Dennett does exist, but the mind doesn't exist in one specific lobe.
Yeah, that's strange. One specific area.
So this is how they misrepresent everything.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that most philosophers that I've talked to, and you know, I do talk to quite a few, the one thing that seems to be in common is that the one thing you do know for certain is yourself. Everything else you can theoretically question. You can be a solipsist.
I'm not so sure anymore after last night.
But the one thing that we tend to agree, you know, it's what self-refuting to say you don't exist in some way, right? Even if
wouldn't it be great if we did our classes in education? Wouldn't it be great if we actually taught lessons where you have to give people an idea that in order to have an idea to have value, it has to be able to show its potential. Does your explanation work? Are you explaining an actual observation? What is the reason that you are suggesting what you're suggesting? And it can't just be because I want to believe I'm special. It's got to be something more than that.
Although that applies.
And how do we know if it's wrong? Mm-hmm. Well, you can't ever prove it wrong. Then it's no good. Wouldn't it be great if people, because they're fine asserting empty nonsense that has no evidence to back it up, as long as you never prove them wrong. They don't need proof that they're right, as long as you can never prove them wrong. But what if the reality is that in science, if you have no indication that you're right, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. You're done.
My hat's off to you, Arn, because I've only been doing YouTube for 6 months now, and in a very, very small, compared to, you know, what you handle way. And I have already given up on humanity. How you've managed to go a decade and you're still in the middle of it, I think is impressive, and you might be a little crazy.
I will agree with you on the latter part. I mean, we have things that we need to be doing. Urgent, really heavily necessary things we need to be doing. That we're just absolutely not. We're just not even touching the things that we're supposed to be doing. I don't know how to phrase this. It's like the island is sinking, and you have two sheep smashing heads, because you know that's what sheep do. They just bash their heads, and they're gonna reign supreme over the female, right? And there is no female. There's just a million wolves on a sinking island, and those sheep are still bashing heads. That's where we are. That's how oblivious.
That's a great analogy, though. I mean, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think today what our biggest problem is that everybody feels that they have their issue, and their issue is the most important. Everybody's on the extremes now, like, you know, whether it be feminism, alt-right, like everybody's moving out to such extremes now that everything that's not in their bubble is instantly against them, and that blocks any kind of working together or communication or bridging that gap. And the more that everybody is pushed to those extremes, the wider that gap is. And I think there's going to be a certain point where there will be no bridging that. And everybody,
I got to add that you are correct, but there's one other dimension that they've added. There's an extreme middle now.
Extreme middle?
Oh, that's interesting.
So you've got a range here, and all of a sudden it's just extended out to the.
No. Here's what it is.
I'm okay.
I'm not on the left or the right. I'm in the middle, and I'm superior to both.
Okay, I get you.
I'm not an atheist or a theist. I'm an agnostic, and for them, the people who are saying it for this reason, they're not saying that whether they're convinced or not convinced that a God exists. Many of them don't give a shit, one way or another.
Yeah.
They could believe, they could not believe. It doesn't matter. The point is, they don't want to be associated with any religious believers for obvious reasons, and they don't want to be associated with specific atheists for obvious reasons. So they're going to pretend they're agnostic, so they don't have to identify with either group.
I'm agnostic, but that's a ridiculous reason to be agnostic. I agree with you 1,000% on that.
But you understand what I mean, because sure. it's especially obvious in the political scheme.
Yes.
Where people refuse to identify as left or right, and they know. And I've had people admit this, that they take the same battery of tests that I do. Any test you can find, any quiz of your political perspective, make up all the bullshit excuses you want about why it's not 100% accurate. There's nothing that's 100% accurate when we're trying to decide these things. We're trying to put things on a linear two-axis scale. How accurate can it possibly be? But if the point is that if 6 out of 6 tests puts you on the left, you're not in the middle.
Good point.
Well, I mean, I believe there's a little bit of range, but I'm not a 50-50 kind of guy on those kind of things
But you understand what I mean. I mean, if every test puts you on the left, why don't you just own up and admit you're on the left?
Yeah,
labels.
I get labels. Right and left a lot of times. But it's funny you're talking about, Kyle, how people come to these things with their positions, thinking that their positions are the best and don't need to be worried about it. And I think that buys in the narrative of they think all opinions and all thoughts and all beliefs are equal, and that's bullshit. Especially in science, there are certain positions that you don't even get a seat at the table. If you're a creationist, if you're a flat earther, you're homeopathy, any of that crap, you don't even get a seat in having a discussion when it comes to science, because that is so far out of the range of science that
I don't know.
There is no equality in beliefs. There is science, and then there's you're fucking wrong. You're fucking wrong doesn't get the status.
Those are the people that should be at the table, though, I think. Those are the people that should be there listening to how people come to these. Instead of getting their information from their echo chambers and InfoWars and these conspiracy threads, they need to be, I think, in some cases, the ones who actively want to, find the truth, pulled in and shown, like, okay, maybe we should go, walking through how you come to these conclusions. And I think there are certain cases where people get into this, it's a us versus them thing, and it's when they come with a different idea, it's instantly shut down, and that pushes them back further into their, delirious ways of thinking. I know it's rare, but how do you navigate that, though? I mean, how can you determine if somebody's genuinely looking for an answer, or you're just being trolled? Especially on here, I mean, we deal with people every day that dinosaurs don't exist.
That's my biggest complaint too, is the lack of sincerity.
Yeah,
it's like, it's not just the problem that these people don't care what the truth is, that it's become so prevalent that you can't tell who cares what the truth is, and right. who even is lying against their own position. I had an argument with this today. Somebody on Twitter was saying things that were so absurdly ridiculous, I could not possibly take that guy seriously. And so I thought better about it. I was just going to block him. I'm like, you are just trying to waste my time on purpose. But then I thought better about it, and I said, okay, I'm going to give you an answer. And I don't think you're going to be able to deal with this, because it disrupts everything you're telling me. But here's the answer. And he surprised the hell out of me when he said his answer to his response to my response to him was to admit that he had no idea what he was talking about, and he had appreciated my time.
Huh.
I didn't see that coming.
That is something that rarely happens, though. You rarely hear, no. That's another problem. People, they're scared of saying, I don't know. They're scared of admitting to someone that they don't have an answer.
Wouldn't
that
be great if we could teach that
answer
first?
For everything.
Let's teach that first. Do you know, right? Unless you can show to some degree, and here's the rule, because people will want to drag this out into hyperbole to say that I can't even prove that I existed 2 weeks ago, right? Well, in addressing that kind of nonsense, if you can't verify the accuracy of your claims to any degree at all, by any means whatsoever, you don't know it.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in that. I'm not. I mean, knowledge has to be something that has to be true. You have to believe in it. You have to be able to justify it. If you miss out on the last part, that justification or some kind of reliable beliefs method by which you have that knowledge, then you can't say it's knowledge. It's not knowledge by any theory of knowledge. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, we all forget things, but you know what? We forget knowledge. We have it. And that's more of an epistemic knowledge, but we don't always remember things properly, in which case we have to go relearn things again. But people say they know a lot of things they don't know.
Yeah, they do. That's my biggest complaint, you know, is the minister that I saw on TV. I wish I could remember who he was. I would love to play the video that I saw, but I never record it because you don't know when you see these things. Oh, I'm going to want to play that when I eventually get a YouTube channel, when there's eventually an internet invented. But there was this guy who said, I know that 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 I know there's a God. He didn't know shit.
Well, okay, he did pass five.
That's like a weird variation of the KK principle, it's called, the knowing principle.
Steve, I don't know what kind of a system you use to adjust your green screen.
It needs work.
Your threshold is a bit high.
This is the best. I just mentioning that in the live chat. Funny you mentioned that. They all say my green screen looks really great. And I just told them it needs tweaking. I'm going to get some lighting. I need lighting to fix the problem that I'm having right now that you can see locally, but it's so small on their end for the output that they can't really notice it. But yeah, I tweaked this the best I'm going to get it until I get better lighting. It's lighting.
Yeah, the light is an issue, but also your distance from the screen.
Yeah, I'm gonna push it back a little bit further in. It's logistics I'm working. I just got it like a couple days
ago. I had to teach myself, so my early shit is crappy.
I think we can we all agree that we just hope that Jesus comes back sooner than later.
You know, even if Jesus is legit, he's not coming back for personal reasons. He's like, fuck you people.
I wouldn't come back either. I mean, if you saw the shit, if there is a Jesus and he's looking down, I'd be like, they're on their own now.
So the evangelicals elected Trump? Fuck y'all.
Yeah, exactly. I've changed my mind. Not coming back.
Here's the last thing that actually I have just two more questions, and these are fun just because I'm curious. And one of them's related to something that we've got coming up. But because of where you are, I think that you will have seen this. But before we get to that, tell us about the ARC protest, how that went, and why you went back a third year to protest this thing.
Well, it wasn't my third year. It was their third year. I went the first time, and I skipped last year. I went this time. I don't know if I'll be back next year or the year after that. I'll go when I'm invited. But I do appreciate the fact that they are doing it every year on the vigil, on the annum of the opening of the park. Now, this time around, the ARC encounter did not acknowledge that there were protesters. And in the news, in fact, they said that they will pray for us and hope that we come to Jesus.
Bless them.
So, this is how they spin it this time around.
If Ken Ham was smart, he would have.
Bearing that in mind, that kind of callous dismissal, that kind of trying to reverse the narrative, is definitely going to influence the next one, and they're going to do something very. Yep. They're not going to do what's expected, and of course, I'm not going to say what that is.
But do you think that narrative works any longer when they know they can't come at you with actual information that disproves anything you're saying about actual how phylogeny works and how evolution works? Do they have to resort to the rhetoric of, oh, you know what?
I don't know if that rhetoric works
as strongly as it used to.
I get it. What if instead of standing around, and this is an answer to your question. I know it I was interrupting, but I'm sorry. I anticipated where you were going.
Good. Go ahead.
But I really got to work on that. I hate jumping over somebody else's lines. Right. I hate that I do that. So I'm trying to
do it gracefully then.
So imagine that instead, the next time, instead or before we end up assembling our masses on the grass there, with our signs and everything, and having the good old time that we did, because we're probably going to do that again, because that was fun. We genuinely had fun with that. Mm-hmm. Answers in Genesis sent out their people. Their people got an education from us, and they won't have that many people next year because of it. So that's always a good thing. But what if we did public interviews with politicians in Kentucky? Prior to the next ARC Encounter protest.
What's the stance of the politicians in Kentucky?
I'm not going to get
money.
Oh, that'd be interesting, because I can see that going many different ways. Because you may not get into it, but I could tell you. But I've read, most of the local politicians, at least, are not happy with the whole ARC thing.
Some of them are owned.
I was going to say, if they were smart, they would have counted you guys as numbers for that day of the park. They could have used them.
So either way, whichever side of the fence you happen to be on.
That'd be interesting.
The interview would be good.
Yes, it would.
That's good. That's a good idea. Well, okay, that brings me to my next question. I have a newfound obsession that I can't stop watching these videos. No matter how hard I try, I cannot turn away from them. And we're going to have two of them actually come on sometime in August. But your state is the central hub for this group of people. And they are called First Amendment auditors. Have you seen or heard of these guys around the area?
First Amendment auditors?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, they are saturated in doubt. Most of the videos come from Dallas.
It's kind of like the Second Amendment thing where they go out with the concealed weapon. I mean, not concealed, the open carry, right? They're demonstrating. It's kind of like that, but for the First Amendment.
Right.
Who in Texas cares about the First Amendment anymore, except me?
Well, let me tell you something. If you watch these videos, they are like, it's kind of like episodes of Cops that used to come on like CMT all the time, where you, no matter what you were doing, if Cops was on, you would stop and just watch the train wreck happen. But these guys take cameras, and they'll either stand outside of bases, police stations, they'll go inside courthouses, and they'll just walk around and film every bit of detail they can see. They'll go up to the windows and pass their phones. And every time, no matter what city they're in, no matter what building they're in, always the same confrontation. What are you doing? I don't have to answer questions. Give me your ID. I'm not giving you my ID. And then the standoff goes on. So where the buildup and the drama happens is whether the cop makes the mistake of taking them in and actually arresting them for just walking around with a camera, or they say, you know what, you're right, you do have a right to do this. And some of the things that happen are unbelievable, like people getting taken down, tasered, all kind of shit. It's epic. But Dallas is the city where they're all coming from. I mean, they're all flocking from Dallas. They go everywhere in Dallas with a camera.
I want to talk to these people on a podcast right away.
Yeah, we're making arrangements with them. Jamie actually wants to talk to them as well. And now, Kyle and I have a little different opinion on these guys. I've watched just as he has. I just sit there and binge watch them. Okay, they are entertaining to say the least. But
I've seen hundreds of their videos.
Yeah, oh, there's so many of them, and I'm telling you, they are really worth watching, because you're like, what the fuck is even going on?
I think here? If you would watch them though, Steve, you would come more on my end of the.
Well, I have watched them, but. My reasoning is this, and again, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to this. I think this is how we're just coming at it. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm advocate for the First Amendment and Second Amendment. I believe that we should have these things. Obviously, there are some limitations to both. There has to be in a society. But
there's limitations to everything except the Tenth Commandment.
Except the what?
Everything except the Tenth Commandment.
Refresh my memory.
We have, in the United States, we have freedom of thought. That's the one thing that's absolute.
Sure.
So that's the one. Okay. Everything
thought
else
should never happen.
Everything else has limits on it. But you are free to believe whatever the hell.
I'm very much against the thought police. But the way I'm looking at the First Amendment,
can we trade off on some of those? I feel like we could balance out some things if we decided who could be able to think what they wanted to.
Oh God, if we all held, we're all held accountable for what we thought, we would all be fucked.
You know, it's funny. I
want to finish this. We'll go to the First Amendment because it's kind of critical. Because again, as somebody who is a very pro First Amendment person, I think if you don't exercise every so often, your freedoms, you as a society, to lose them. And all the auditor's doing is going out and seeing if people are aware of what people's rights are to do certain things. If I wanted to go out and film something, if I want to stand by an airport and film, if I wanted to go to a city council meeting and I want to film it, and it's all public, it's all anything you can do, as long as you're not interfering with the normal course of business or anything like that, it's perfectly legal to film them. Even if it makes them uncomfortable, it doesn't matter.
And my concern, with the group that you're talking about is that in order to promote ratings, if they're accepted appropriately all the time, they might...
Very, very valid criticism. Yes.
They instigate. They instigate. And that's what I'm saying. If you watch, all of them, like the amount that I do, there are some of them that do just, if the cop comes out and they ask them, like, who are you? They comply because they understand.
Yeah, they're very polite the
about it. But then there are those who go in solely looking to do everything they can to get locked up or, cause a bigger scene than needs to be. There's a difference between exercising your, you know, the rights that you get and then instigating a
scene. Yeah, I think that's about criticism.
Taking resources. So that's the only thing that I mean, other than that, I believe that you should fight for your rights.
Absolutely. Yeah, now I've gone into a number of places, obviously, because I've gotten video of that. When I go give my testimony to the State House, I've got my camera set up.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody's giving me hell that you can't record here. But then neither am I pushing it. I'm not getting in the way. I'm not being obtrusive. I'm like, you know, I'm trying to be as respectful to the venue as I possibly can, as would be appropriate to do.
Yes. I think the asking for ID is the most, most thing that people are fighting against, right? If you're not breaking the law, then officers have no legal reason to ask for ID. They can, obviously, but you're not required to give it. And I think that's the central thing, is people don't want to feel like they have to give papers or identification. Something that they're obligated to do or have a lawful duty to do if they're not breaking the law.
It's a funny thing that you bring up, you know, the Second Amendment, because to my life, except when I was living in Arizona throughout my youth, I mean, I'm 55. I had, you know, a lot of time before recent events. Throughout my life, if I had a gun on me, I'd be in trouble most situations. I mean, there's a lot of places here in Texas. Back in the day, if I had walked into a Texas convenience store wearing a gun, I would be arrested and 10-year felony, 10 years in prison for that. Mm-hmm. I went to Arizona. Suddenly you have open carry. Mm-hmm. You can carry a gun wherever. You can't go into a courthouse. You can't go into like a specific government buildings. You can't wear it into a bar. But with those exceptions, you can wear your gun everywhere. I could walk into a convenience store and buy a case of beer with a gun on me and walk out, and that'd be fine. But in Texas, I'd be put in prison for it.
Yeah, it makes 10 years for that makes no sense.
But in Arizona, those people that can do that, this is where I have an issue.
10 years for murder anymore. Half
those
the time.
People that have that right, like if you're in Arizona, say that for example, they have that right to do that. They can do that now. What they do then is they strap two AR-15s across their chest and walk down with a scarf across their nose down a public sidewalk as a statement of saying, I can do this. I have the right to do this. Now, any rational thinking individual would look and say, with the way that the environment is today, and go, some shit's about to go down. I mean, you hear about shootings, mass shootings every day.
Yeah.
So where's the point there?
Yeah, I mean, I got to walk around school.
That in my youth, when I was in Arizona, I could carry a gun. I didn't have a gun. It's strangely, yeah. I didn't want a gun ever until I moved back to Texas, where at the time in Texas, you were not allowed to carry a gun on you like you could in Arizona. Now they've changed the laws since. And that's what's so weird about it. Texas used to penalize you heavily if you walk around with a gun on you. Like you could in Arizona. It was used to be the only Arizona I could get away with that. But now everybody in Texas has a gun now.
I thought you had a six shooter when you were born.
Let me ask you this. This is something that just recently happened, and I'm still bothered by this because I do believe in stand your ground laws. But however, when you have guns and stand your ground, did you watch recently where there was an altercation over a parking lot space? The guy came up to the guy. He shoved the guy to the ground. The guy waited a couple seconds, at which time he reached back, pulled out his gun, and discharged it one round into the guy's chest, and the guy died. any other state, that would have been homicide because he was no longer in a position of immediate danger. There was no threat. There was a good 6-7 feet away. Had the guy approached him, right, and to come back again, maybe that might have been justifiable. But I found no justifiable reason to discharge a weapon in that situation. However, Florida has
standards. Like that happened.
And so he's not going to be prosecuted. That to me
is like that happened before.
Thing.
George Zimmerman, maybe?
No, well, that's a totally different thing. But
well, I'm just saying, this is the mess that you have when you have crazy ass laws like Florida does.
Yeah, to give you an idea of how weird it is to see somebody walking around fucking Walmart with an AR-15 in their hands.
Yeah, right? It shouldn't ever be in your hand.
In the 80s, you know, I'm a young metalhead teenager, and I walk into a shopping mall wearing spiked leather bracers, and I get those confiscated by the law. Because that somehow is a weapon.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Boy, it had to be. It wasn't like a thin stud. If you had a spike of any kind, it was.
No, I'm not even talking about a knuckle. It's a stud on my wrist.
Yeah, those were legal. Yeah, you couldn't go into a mall with those things.
How have we gotten so crazy to these days? This is what I ultimately take away from things. We have gotten so bizarre as a human race. The things that we're okay with now that we don't think twice about. 20 years ago, it would have been outrageous. And now we're listening to things like flat earth, viruses don't exist. The moon is a big light in the sky. We're the center of the universe. Dinosaurs don't exist. Vaccines cause autism. Where in the hell is all of this shit coming from?
Trump clarified his statement. I just want to add that to your list.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. I don't know. We've
gotten a lot worse. We have no appreciation for academics.
Before YouTube. Before I started doing YouTube, I had this beautiful, idyllic picture of humanity. Most people were good. Most people tried at least to do good by others. But when I got into the middle of this, where you're having people email you things like, maybe we should talk about this on the show. And you didn't know that this was a thing. And then you start looking at this and this frightens you to the point where you're like, okay, I've got to find out why this guy thinks the way that he does.
I got to throw in
my ultimate question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ultimate question. Yeah. Was that your ultimate question?
My ultimate question is why do we do this to ourselves?
Well, my thought is that just like, it used to be that people said that we didn't have as much crime as we used to have, or that we have more crime now than we used to have. When we used to have guys that would wander around just killing people, right? You killed 21 men, right? That we know of. But what we've got now is where we have a whole lot more surveillance and we have a lot more coverage and we have so we know more about what's going on. So we want to talk about, you know, child molestation, we know people are coming forward and saying, I was molested as a kid. People that wouldn't have said that generations ago. So you go back 100 years ago, and I would say that things were every bit as bad. Now, social structures were far worse. You know, America was 100 years ago about the lowest we've ever been as far as quality of life. But now on top of that, people, as you talk about violence against people, people used to think 100 years ago that your appropriate and expected response to any disagreement was to punch that guy in the eye as your opening reply. And that if women did not behave as according to the way you ordered them, you could slap them or turn them over your knee like children and spank them. That used to be accepted. And if somebody were from the androgynous zone, if somebody were, you know, if somebody were queer in some way, then you could beat the hell out of them because that's what you're expected to do when you find any deviation from what you think is your norm. That was the culture 100 years ago. We are far better than we were 100 years ago. It's just that we are not as aware. we have more surveillance. We have a lot more awareness about what crimes are going on. Can you imagine the crimes that went on at a time when there was no surveillance, when there was no fingerprints, when we didn't have, you know, police departments in every town? Just imagine the shit that went on.
Good point. I'm glad you said that. That actually restored a little bit my faith. Because when you said the thing with the punching somebody as a way of settling an argument, go back a little bit further, and they had duels where if you argue to the point where it couldn't be fixed, you would literally line up back to back, and one of you wasn't walking out of that that argument.
Just imagine Vice President Pence gets in an argument online with Bannon, and those two assholes take out their automatics and do a duel.
I would pay for that, actually.
Old school, whatever. Yeah.
this is an outlier, but I'm okay with that.
The question is, who do you actually want to win?
Well, if it were to happen that they were both skilled enough that they each shot each other dead.
I
hesitate to call it a double victory because I don't want to be that morose.
Can I ask? Can we invoke prayer this one time, please? Just on the off chance that it works.
It's kind of like one of those things.
It might actually do something.
I don't want. I don't want them to die, but I would unplug their life support to charge my cell phone.
Yeah. I will.
We're getting dark.
I just want to clarify. All in jest.
I would never.
If I had dictatorial powers over this country.
Yep. Secret Service.
Let's say that Trump is found guilty of treason, as a lot of people have thrown out that he could be guilty of treason. I think there's some requirement that we must be at war with the country in order for it to be treasonous. But I've heard the charge of treason made. Mm-hmm. Let's say that they get that to stick. Trump is charged with treason by the very party who are the strongest advocates of the death penalty.
Oh, yeah.
I disagree with absolutely everything about Trump. But he should not be killed. The greater punishment, I think, would be for that man to have to admit that he was wrong or how he was wrong about everything. And not in a bullshit
100%.
Way where I accept what my intelligence agency has said, that it was probably the Russians. It could have been a lot of other people, too. No, not a bullshit answer like that.
Right. I agree 100%.
And then living the rest of his life in a prison cell, which he would not, he would go slowly lose his mind even more than he has.
Can we shave his head, please? At least.
What, 72 now?
Yeah, so he's got another few years left.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily agree with prison as being a form of punishment either.
For treason?
Even treason. I believe that somebody like that, you just take away his fucking suit, make him wear something stupid. But, you know, go send him to an old folks home where you can sit and dodder and apologize for being the idiot you are and just go in peace and hurt nobody in a position where you can't hurt anybody else.
I've got it. I've got the perfect punishment for Trump. What we do is we build a replica of his apartment in New York, right? In this secure facility where he can't get out. But it's like just at home. We give him the brand new iPhone and access to his Twitter account, but we turn the Wi-Fi off for eternity.
Let him sit in his gold-plated tower and never be allowed to leave.
I was just going to suggest we let him be a crash test dummy for Madman Mike, but that's just me.
It's the violence again.
Oh, we spoke.
Yeah,
brutal, Dave. We spoke to Mike again, Aaron. He said to tell you hello, and he was asking about you.
Do you know he's running for governor? Mad Mike Hughes, the Rocket Man.
Oh.
He's running for state governor.
He came back on this past week, and said to tell you hello.
You know, it's funny. I'm glad I got a chance to talk to him, and I want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to talk to him. The only important thing that I was able to say to that guy was when he started trying to walk back his flat earth thing. You know, so this is the flat earth thing is just a very small part of what I do. And I was able to tell him, this should be no part of what you do because there's no truth to it.
Yep.
And the sad thing is I like the guy.
He's a nice guy. Really nice guy. I talk to him frequently, and I think he is backing away from the flat Earth, but now he's moving into Sovereign Citizen.
Oh, no.
Well, he didn't want to talk about the flat Earth.
I can tell you right now, we had him on this past week.
He would not want to talk about it. He did not want to. He actually said in the podcast, like, I don't want to talk about the flat Earth thing anymore, because I brought it up in an instant to kind of talk about him shooting himself up in the rocket. And at the end of him talking about the going up into the rocket, he said, I think that's about all I want to talk about the flat Earth for tonight. Let's just focus on the governor thing. So
a wise
I think
decision. He is.
But Ollie, this is his reasoning. This is his super secret plan that I can tell you right now. I'm almost guessing is what it's going to be. But he has this belief that your name in capital letters is different from your name.
Oh, yeah.
And so your name and he's doing the Ken Hovind thing. Okay. So your name and capital letters, by the way, Hovind got 9 years in prison because of this, but in the structuring under his legal capitalized name. But he thinks that all the other people running for the gubernatorial race are not qualified to do so because of the way that their name is not in uppercase.
And no, that's the reason why they can't. They're a corporation.
They're a corporation. Yeah, because therefore, you can't run into a corporation because it's, even though a corporation is a legal person, it's not the person, that is Mad Mac Mike Hughes. And so all of them are not qualified because they're running illegally. And he's trying to make this argument.
Come back, Mike. We love you. Come back.
So every now and then, people
are like, nice like him, it wouldn't be half bad.
Every now and then you hear some piece of news about some famous person that you didn't expect. Like the other day I heard that, or I was watching some video that was talking about the life story of Peter Sellers, where it mentioned this thing about Peter Sellers being super, super superstitious. And he was so superstitious that somebody told him that the color purple was in some culture the color of death. And so Peter Sellers, according to this video, was describing where he was terrified of ever being in a room with anything that was purple because somehow it might kill him. Now, take that and compare that to things that we've read from, again, 100 years ago, the things that people commonly believed and wrote 100 years. It's rare that you had people writing anything. And they certainly didn't have a public mass media where every idiotic brain fart is suddenly broadcast to thousands of people. We don't have that anymore. So I don't think that we're necessarily getting stupider, but the stupid is becoming more obvious. And I'm really hoping
we're more aware of it.
Purple was a color of royalty throughout history.
Go tell that to Peter Sellers.
Because it was hard to make the actual color. It was a rare ink.
The moral of the story is humanity is a crazy, beautiful thing. Just don't fuck with everybody else's crazy, beautiful thing, and we'll all get along just fine. You cross over and trying to tell other people how to do things, and that's where we have the issue, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, Steve, go ahead.
You want to get some of these super chats out of the way, because they've been coming in, and we got a lot to read.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. 0132132. I was sure, all capitalized, you guys were dead since it had been so long since we had a show. Glad you're safe. Yes, we appreciate it.
2 days.
We are going to be taking weekends off now. We do have other things.
Yes.
Most of our weekends, we still are working on stuff for Non Sequitur, but it was nice to actually get out.
We have some surprises for you guys. So.
And I've been making bad videos too. Okay, Asandring, just for having Arn on again. Thank you. Avon Payne, most of the time these people seem like a separate kind themselves. That's true.
Agreed.
I cannot pronounce the Swedish name. I'm called Mr. Lindberg. Good night from Sweden, land of forest fires. That's not good. Why are you having
land of forest
fires? Yeah, wait, really?
Wow.
Have you been to California?
That was the happiest announcement of an emergency I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. Good night from Sweden. Just a couple
next of fires. From Avon Payne again. Hey, we need to have Ken Ham and Ken Hovind debate their version of creationism.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Then just play.
Oh no, it would not. No, it would not.
Then just play Arn's Foundation of Creationism series auto debunk next, please.
that would be fun.
Oh, that is cute. Don't you guys understand? It's a conspiracy. Religion is what they want you to believe. Yeah. Okay. That has always frustrated me. I just can't comprehend why we people are so against being in reality. Because sometimes not being in reality is more comforting. You know.
Agreed.
It's going to hell. I'm going to have to fix this soon. I know I'm fading out here, guys. I'm fading out. From Jammy, I've learned from Aaron how to differentiate between species and kinds. I learned from Ken Hoven how not to pronounce Aaron and Wata.
By the way,
he thanks you for the 777 club, Aaron.
He still does.
Okay.
Every day. Or not every day, but almost every day.
I've just figured out a new way of scamming, of fleecing the flock. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, exactly. It should give you a royalty. Sandra again. There are only two options for why someone, quote, believes in a flat earth. Either they're a Poe and don't actually believe it, it's an attention-grabbing ploy, or they actually believe it because they don't have a high enough IQ to comprehend the concepts, or all of the above. I don't think they're mutually separate things there, or mutually exclusive. Brian, do the accent again. Awesome show, guys. Which accent did he want Aaron to do? It wasn't Ken Hovind. Was it?
It had to be the country guy.
The country guy.
Yeah, it was the Texas legislature country guy.
Yeah, do the country guy.
That was funny as fuck.
Country.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, you have to capitalize on that voice because that was.
It was hilarious. A southern guy that came up to you and started talking about you.
You know, it sounded nothing like you.
Yeah, it sounded nothing like you, even though you're kind of more southern than I've ever been because I had to get out of California.
Yeah, I'm not doing that again.
But Steve, you look like the southerner. You look like
that was my true empiricism voice when I translated what Matt Dillahunt had challenged people to translate to try to make what true empiricism made sense. This is the voice I did it in.
You sound like Colonel Sanders having a stroke right now.
I smell burnt toast.
To my memory, Colonel Sanders is not that similar to true empiricism.
Not in the remote.
Not remote. No. The two are not mutually exclusive.
You know, but I did try to make sense what he said one time. It was challenging. I failed, but I came close. Even Matt said I did a good time. A good try.
Okay,
ATP synthase. I keep on saying ATP mayonnaise now. It's like a permanent thing. Brian Stevens went to the hotel B-Fast in Texas. Guy had a gun in his pocket. Maybe, are you sure that was a gun, or maybe he was just happy to see you there, Brian?
Hey, everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah. Those are the super chats, which we thank you for immensely.
Yes. Well, I will now let Aaron kind of – I don't know how you would really wrap up all the topics that we've covered, but any parting words that you'd like to say to plug where you can support him and what he does, because I think we demonstrated at the very beginning what he does is important, and we need to continue to support him being able to do that because he is changing things and he's making a difference. So it's always a pleasure to have him on here, and we're glad every time to have him. So Aaron, we'll send it over to you and you can close us out.
I appreciate that very much. I have been for the last 4 years a full-time activist, and this is my only source of income now. So the best way to support me, if you like what I do, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/ARONRA.
And we'll
okay, short and sweet.
Description. One more super chat from Gage. Please chew the accent on pressure. He forgot how to do the accent already, so we're going to have to like
rewind. You have to watch the video.
It was a one-time event.
An upcoming video. Gage.
Yeah, I have to feel it.
He has to be in the moment. Yeah. He's like one of those actors that just has to like, what are they called? Method actor. He's a method actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like an appropriate.
But,
yeah, I finally got my green screen fixed.
Well,
that's the best setting I've had so far, huh?
Yep. You only wait until the last 5 minutes of the show, Steve.
Takes time. Perfection takes time.
It's true. Well, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. We will be a full streaming week this week. It's kind of scattered because of the guests and where they're at in their locations. So remember, Thursday is going to be at 2 with Cosmic Skeptic and Dr. Alex Malpass. We'll be back tomorrow at 8 to play What the If with the guys from What the If podcast, Flat Earth Edition. They have custom made a Flat Earth style game around that. So we'll see how well we do. And we'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern.